Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thanks, Carol, for that. New research has revealed an unprecedented mental health crisis among young people globally, with calls to make the matter an international health priority. The new study, which identifies this worldwide surge in mental ill health among young people, has just been published in the Lancet Psychiatry Journal. And one of the authors was Professor Barbara Dooley, who's Dean of Graduate Studies and Deputy Registrar in UCD. And Professor Dooley joins me now. Barbara, you're very welcome to the programme.
Many thanks for having me on. Thank you.
If you were on to talk to us about a health crisis of mental health among young people in Ireland, we'd say there's no news there. But one of the startling elements here on this study is that it's global, it's worldwide. Why is that?
There are many, many reasons why it's worldwide. The paper, which is a very interesting paper for anybody who's interested in looking at it, we look at the perspective of mental health from right across the globe, but not only looking at countries that are what we would call high-income countries, but also countries from low-income countries and middle-income countries. And we still see this trend of this increase in mental health from generations previously. Some of the things that we feel that are really important are that in terms of what young people are exposed to now versus a number of generations ago are a lot more complex. Certainly, a couple of generations ago, reaching adulthood physically was a really key thing. But now the number one issue that young people are going to encounter is a mental health issue. If it is going to be any health issue, it will be a mental health issue. Mm. So that's the first thing we know, and we've a lot of evidence to point to that, and we've been gathering evidence over time. The second thing we know is when we've been looking at data over the last 20 years or so, we're seeing this step change in the number of young people who are experiencing mental health and mental health difficulties. And I think there are many, many things and many factors that actually play into that.
Okay. And we'll get to those in just a second. But
sure.
One of the stats that jumps out from this research is that mental illness accounts for about 45%, is it, Barbara, of the overall burden of disease, in young people between 10 and 24 globally.
Yep. Well, I suppose it kind of goes back to the point I had a moment ago. So in previous generations, physical health was certainly not as good as it currently is. So we know that we've had huge reductions in infectious diseases in childhood and in early adulthood. So people generally now do reach adulthood in terms of physical maturity. And because of that, if they're going to encounter a health issue, it's going to be a mental health issue. So it's that main factor that young people are going to experience is mental health. So that's the reason why we see it's the burden of disease, because other diseases are much reduced because of increases in good medicine and good care, etc.
Okay. I'm just Googling here when the first smartphone of significance was launched. I think it's 2000. And the reason I'm doing that is you mentioned a step change in the mental health of young people about 20 years ago or so. Mm. So the first iPhone was 2000 or so. I can clarify that. But it's about then, isn't it? And I just wonder, is there a correlation?
Well, certainly there is some evidence to suggest that the increase of smartphone usage has had an impact on young people. Now, it's not the only driver, and we know that. And I think it goes beyond even just the smartphone. The smartphone itself, particularly young people, use it for connecting with their friends. They use it maybe in more negative ways as well, maybe looking at influences and social comparisons, bullying. And there's a whole series of, shall we say, negative impacts by phone usage. And the other thing is increased phone usage has been linked to a reduction in social connections, creating good social connections. And we know that really to be a healthy adult, you need a lot of good, really good relationships, social connections, to try and minimize things like feeling isolated and lonely. And young people themselves, they report feeling lonely and isolated, and yet spend a lot of time on phones, which is in many cases an individual activity rather than being with their friends or outside and socializing. Mm. So the smartphone is certainly one of the things.
Yeah, it was 07, just to clarify, when the initial iPhone was launched. But it's around about then. The other thing that's, and this is my own observation, is that obesity levels in this country and worldwide have increased. Is there any correlation between a change in diet, really processed, sugary, salty foods and mental health, I wonder? Has that been observed in this study at all?
No, we didn't look at that in this particular study, but we certainly do know that for young people, certainly when we did some research in the MyWorld survey a number of years ago, we looked at physical activity in that particular study, not so much food, but certainly physical activity and BMI. And there was an association certainly between being more physically active and being mentally well. And also we found that people getting the right amount of sleep were also better mentally rather than those who were getting, shall we say, the less recommended sleep. So there are certainly things, and BMI was linked as well. So I think there are many things that factor into this, but we didn't specifically look at, say, the type of food.
Okay, so can I ask you then about other issues, that the other drivers in this report? Intergenerational inequality, you say, and insecure employment are two factors.
Yep. For young people, what they tell us is they feel that when they look to their future, that they see their future as less certain than maybe generations previously. That in previous generations, there was a greater certainty to maybe when they would actually complete education, enter employment, secure a home, and potentially enter into having a family. All of those had a more predicted timeline. Today's young people see that is much more disrupted and much precarious, and leading them to feel maybe having less purpose and increasing again that sense of maybe anxiety about what the future will hold for them.
Mm-hmm. But I think back to my own youth, there was an awful lot of talk about the ozone layer, for example.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it wasn't as Armageddon-like and as catastrophic as what we're facing right now. There were other difficulties like employment, an awful lot of people in the 80s emigrating. Why is it impacting younger people now more so seemingly than maybe a generation or two ago?
One of the things I think that may feed into that is going back to the smartphone, or that access to information. So if you think, even going back pre-smartphone days, or going back to a generation maybe 20 years ago, access to information was not as constant and on as it now is. So people are bombarded by information, bombarded by news, bombarded by conflict, bombarded by images that are very negative. And with all of that, that can become very overwhelming, and people trying to understand, well, where are we going? What is this world about? And being able to process information. So if we, again, going back to this study looks also at the biology of as young people develop. So we know that the frontal lobe, which is where we make good decisions and planning and thinking, that's really not fully developed at age 25. So if we kind of dial it back to, say, adolescence, late teenage years, so that critical capacity and critical thinking and evaluating information in a way that actually allows you to maybe process it well, make good decisions, isn't there. So if you're bombarded with this, it can be very negative and very overwhelming, and people feeling distressed as a consequence. So I think that's one of the things. Mm-hmm. Despite us having things when I was growing up, knowing about unemployment, the experiences of those, but I think there's a complexity to issues now that potentially wasn't there a generation ago.
Yeah, and that complexity, I suppose, is caused by what you say exactly, the speed at which information is coming at people all the time. Mm-hmm. Concerns about climate, obviously, which is why I referenced the ozone layer, which is affecting people right now. What should be done, in your opinion, Barbara?
Well, I suppose if we, based on the study we're looking at, one of the things that we really focus in on is investment. That if we think about young people, we do know that young people that experience mental health difficulties, if they're, shall we say, trajectory into adulthood gets disrupted, they tend not to actually reach their potential, whether it's vocationally, educationally, or otherwise. And if that gets disrupted for society at large, their potential to be productive in society gets disrupted. So it's not just for the individual, it's also societal. So I think we need to think about investing in the mental health of young people at a time when it will make an impact. So we need to think about early intervention, because we do know that if these difficulties persist over time, they can actually stay right through the life course. However, if there is intervention early on, we can actually change that journey and actually have young people go on to form, to have relationships, productivity, etc. So I think it's that case for investing in early intervention for young people. Okay. So we know that we have services like that in Ireland, but we need a lot more investment. No, not just in Ireland, but globally.
Globally, indeed. Yeah, based on this study. Can I ask you really briefly, based on one of the texts we got to 51551, a listener says, the reason for the mental health epidemic is that people don't have any faith anymore. Therefore, they have a nihilistic view and don't see the point in life. Is there any merit in that?
That's one that's quite hard for me to comment on. Certainly, faith religion was something we didn't actually study, and in this particular report, though, I'd be slow to suggest that that is one of the main drivers. I think it could be for some people, no doubt, that sense of purpose and meaning, but for others that may not be the case, because I think we do know, if anything, the study tells us it's really, really complex, and I don't think we can point to any one thing that actually is the main driver behind what we're seeing is this increase globally.
Okay, but there's certainly a crisis globally, and it's certainly a step change, to use your own words. Great to talk to you, I must say. It's really informative. Professor Barbara Dooley, Dean of Graduate Studies and Deputy Registrar in UCD. Thank you.